This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له جل عن الشبيه والمثيل والكفء والنظير وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows what we reveal and knows what we conceal and even knows what the animals feel. We thank Him, we praise Him, and on Him we have reliance. It is to Him we only turn to for true guidance. We ask Him to send His peace, His blessings, His mercy on the best of human beings and Prophets Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on whom be praise until the very end of our days. And we ask Him for steadfastness, guidance, mercy, and to never lead us astray and for Him to save us on Judgment Day. A sin which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam described as whoever has even a grain's worth of it in their heart or has done an action of it will not enter or smell the scent of paradise. A sin which we may have heard of its consequences, but it's so pervasive that in fact it is one of the root causes of why people may not even accept Islam because of it. A sin which our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has spoken about in the Qur'an as a description of those people who will be very distant from Him, very distant from the reward of the hereafter. And a sin which our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us as guidance, as one of the first things a believer should cleanse their heart from. It is so integral that whether we teach it in our Islamic schools, or we remind ourselves of this even daily or weekly, it is that important for a believer to be aware of its evil and for them to not fall into it. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported in the hadith that's narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Sahih Muslim, where he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. That there will not enter paradise the one that has equal to a mustard seed or an atom's weight of arrogance in their heart. So فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ إِنَّ الرَّجُلُ يُحِبُّ أَن يَكُونَ ثَوْبَهُ حَسَنًا وَنَعْلَهُ حَسَنًا فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالَ الْكِبْرُ بَطْرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْطِ النَّاسِ. So a man said to the Prophet ﷺ, wanting to know what is the practical application of arrogance. What does it mean to be arrogant? Because in the mind of the person listening, many things can be arrogant. Arrogant can be the way you dress. Arrogant can be the way you walk. Arrogant can be the way you respond to people. So this is an important question. What does it mean to be arrogant? And the first thing that came in the minds of the Sahaba was something that you see among people on the outward perspective. Meaning what? People usually dress in luxury and decadence. And that's what came to mind. Maybe if you dress that way, you are considered arrogant. And the man said to the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, a person or a man likes to dress in good clothes and nice shoes. Is this arrogance? And the Prophet ﷺ, look at the way he responded sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He did, first of all, didn't chastise the man. No, that's not it. But he responded in a way for him to make him understand. And he said to him, Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. But rather, pride and arrogance comes from rejecting the truth and looking down upon people. Looking down upon people. Rejecting the truth and looking down upon people. My brothers, my sisters, my students, those who are here at the Islamic school. Among the greatest forms of disagreement and family disillusion, marital problems, relationship issues, is this right here. Where we think that arrogance is to look down upon somebody alone just because of the color of their skin, or because of the country that they come from, or because of the tribe that they're in, or the language that they speak, or any of these things. These are the outward appearance forms of racism, which is worse than what I'm about to mention to you. But among the forms of arrogance is the one that is pervasive in every single one of us. And that is hating to be corrected when we have a mistake in ourselves. Despising someone standing up to us and saying, you have this problem, you need to fix it. Or looking down upon people which everyone has a major issue with in the Muslim community, when they come to the Muslim community or they come amongst us and they say they are looking at me with the eyes of judgment. You know what that is? That's ihtiqar al-akhirin. That is looking down upon people. It can be even pervasive for those of you who are in Islamic school here. Oh, that person doesn't go to Islamic school. Astaghfirullah. What did you just do? You just look down upon somebody. Or this person doesn't wear hijab, or this person doesn't have a beard, or all of these forms are ihtiqar al-akhirin wa ghamt al-nas. This is a hadith the Prophet ﷺ focused on to such an extent, he built it into the Sahaba that a person could come into the masjid and they would not react based on their outward selves. They would not judge them, they would not look down upon that individual. Alayhi salatu wasalam. It is so pervasive that in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, another hadith, he mentioned that he was sitting in the gathering of the companions. And one companion who had recently accepted Islam came and he said, I saw a man in this gathering whose opinion was accepted by people. They were gathered around and listening to him. He's new. And he said, whatever he said, they submitted to it. So he said, I asked among people, who is he? And they said, this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, I came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I said, oh, you who peace be on, you're a messenger of God. Peace be on you if you're from Allah. Meaning what you say, the revelation is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I said this twice out of his excitement and love. This is a man who God speaks to. May Allah have peace on you. May Allah have peace on you. And then he said, do not say on you be peace. Don't say alayka salam. The Prophet corrected him. He said, say wa alaykum as-salam. He said, alaykum as-salam is the response of the people in the graves. Alayka as-salam, this is from the unseen. So he said, don't say alayka as-salam, say wa alaykum as-salam. He corrected him in how to address. Meaning, be peace be upon you. Alayka as-salam mean be upon you peace. As-salam is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It refers to something of the unseen. That's the explanation of the hadith. Anything beyond that, Allahu a'lam. He said, say wa alaykum as-salam, don't say alayka as-salam. That's it. Then he said to him, I asked, you are the messenger of Allah? He said, I am the messenger of Allah, whom you call when a calamity befalls you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes it. Meaning I am from that messenger, from that Lord, that if something evil happens in your life, you call to that Lord and he answers you and I am from him and receive revelation from him. When you suffer from drought, you call to that Lord, him. He brings about for you food. And when you are in a desolate land or in a desert, and your she-camel or your ride strays and runs away, and you call to Allah for helping you find what you have lost, he's the one who returns it to you. So the man said, give me some advice. So you're the messenger? How could I go to Jannah? Give me some advice in my life. Listen to the advice of Rasulullah ﷺ to a person who just accepted Islam. He's new. He said to him, do not abuse anyone. What is he going to abuse? He just accepted Islam. Do not abuse anyone. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said that he did not abuse a free man or a servant or a camel or a sheep. After this, the one who heard this, he said, I never abused a single person. After the Prophet ﷺ said, don't abuse anyone. Then he said, do not look down on any good that's ever done. And when you speak to your brother, show them a cheerful face. This is among the greatest good that you can do. Have your garment, when you wear clothes, to at least be towards beyond or to your shins. Meaning don't show your awla, don't show your private area. And if you can, all the way to your ankles. And he said, beware of trailing the lower garment, for it is a sign of conceit. Back then in the Arabs, among the Arab, when they would be a sign of their arrogance and pride, is that they would wear very long clothes and robes that would drag in the streets. Among the Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, they said his clothes would drag in the street, he would wear it once, twice and throw it away. I have met people, they do the same thing in this time today. They wear their thobes once, twice, throw it out, buy new clothes. So he said, beware of that, it's a sign of conceit. Is it a sign of conceit for you to have clothes and nice clothes. No, it's a sign of conceit for you to wear clothes for the intention of pride and conceit. Okay. Then he says, and if a man abuses and shames you for something, you're abused and you're shamed, and in something he finds in you, he says, do not shame them for something which you find in them, because they will bear the consequence of it, and you, meaning the explanation is, you will bear the consequences of yourself. لَا ضَرَرَ وَلَا ضِرَرَ. Somebody shames and abuses you, don't shame and abuse them back. They will bear the consequences of their own actions, and you will bear the consequences of your own. The Prophet ﷺ also mentioned in another hadith that's narrated by Ibn Umar رضي الله عنه, do not harm Muslims, nor revile them, nor spy on them to expose their secrets. For whoever tries to expose their brother's secrets or the fellow Muslim's secrets, Allah will expose their secrets wide open, even if they were in the depth of their house. And then the student of Abdullah ibn Umar Nafi, he said, one day Ibn Umar looked at the Kaaba and he said, what is it that is more honored than you and whose honor is more sacred than yours, and the believer's honor is more sacred to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than that specific honor? My brothers, my sisters, I end with very important advice. There's something called shu'mul ma'siyah. Shu'mul ma'siyah means the effects of sins that you do. We have all just heard these ahadith. You've probably heard before, but I want to draw your attention to something very important. The effects of sins come back to you. You look down upon somebody, the effect of that sin will come back to you over what you look down upon them for. I'll give you a simple example. One of my friends, this happened to in front of me. One of my friends, may Allah bless him, he's a righteous brother. And he still is. But he was tested with this. We came to the university masjid in Medina. And I sat there talking to him, and he looked at the front line and it's seemingly empty, and some brothers over there. These are students of knowledge. People are going to become scholars in their countries. And he looked at them and he says, Astaghfirullah, look at the state of the ummah. Where is the front line filled and the students of knowledge competing with each other for the reward of those who pray in the front line? As you know, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, there's angels that are specially assigned to those who pray in the front line, they pray for them. So he said the students of knowledge should be the first ones to be competing with each other. And what is this? Is he saying something evil? Not necessarily, he's sharing a hadith, but he's looking down upon other people for something he thinks is a weakness, is a deficiency, whatever it is, it's still looking down. I swear to Allah in front of all of you, he did not come pray Fajr in congregation for an entire week after that. Meaning what? I would ask him, like, everything, he's like, oh yeah, are you sick? Allah caused him to sleep and miss the congregational prayer for an entire week. This is the effect of looking down upon, you will see it. And we have seen people who spoke about other people's families. About other people's families. Why aren't they wearing the hijab? And why aren't they doing this? Allah tested them in their own family that somebody would be tested with that. Allah tested them in their own family because they did not hold their tongue from this. Among them, you think that this is free from the righteous? No, even the righteous were tested with something like this. Muhammad ibn Sirin, one of the greatest scholars of the Tabi'een, he said, Allah punished me for a sin that I committed 30 years ago. They said, what was that? They said that I went to prison for bankruptcy because I said about somebody, oh, how can this person be bankrupt? 30 years later, Allah tested with him with bankruptcy and he ended up in prison. How? He took a loan of 40,000 dirhams. And for him to pay it back, he bought that for business. He bought a barrel of oil. And in that oil, he found a mouse. So he said that if I take the mouse and sell the oil, this will be evil. People have a defective product, and that's not allowed. So what did he do out of his righteousness? He poured all of the oil out. How is he going to pay the loan back? He didn't have the money to pay the loan back. The guy goes to the judge. This is one of the greatest scholars in Islam, righteous person. He brought him to court. Muhammad Sirin, we don't care, you're alim, you're taqi, you pray in the front row, you went to Hajj 99 times. Where is the money to this guy? 40,000 dirhams. He said, I don't have it. It's okay, bismillah. You go to Hajj, first of all of your wealth is Hajj. You're not allowed to spend it until you pay it, and you're going to prison. So he spent time in prison until he found a way to pay it off. He said, Allah gave me the consequence of a word I said about one man 30 years ago. And that's why Ibrahim ibn Adham, he says, إني لا أرى شيء إني لا أرى شيء فأكره نعيبه مخافة أن أبتلي أو أبتلى فيه به. He says, sometimes I see something in people or in the street that people do or the actions of some people, I will never open my mouth and dare to open my mouth out of the fear Allah will test me and punish me in the same thing that I look down upon another with. May Allah protect us from this, Ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah protect us from having any semblance. Do not allow your soul to even feel like you're better than a human being walking on the street. One person. We were walking in Medina, and one of my friends, when I first got there, he said, I want to show you something. I said, what? He said, you see this man? I said, no, I don't know who you're talking about. He said, this man. He pointed to me like three times. He said, no. He said, come here. He grabbed my hand. We went and walked to the guy, and even then I said, this guy? He said, yes. He said, do you know who this is? I said, no. Is he great alim? Is he somebody famous? Somebody we should see? He's like, no, he's an average person. But I want to share something with you. He grabbed his hand. We started talking. He said, assalamu alaikum. He ended up being from one of the Stan countries. And I said to him, you know, how are you? And I realized he's blind. He walks from his apartment. He's counted his footsteps from his home alone every single day, five times prayer for him to pray in Masjid al-Nabawi for the five salawat. No one helps him. He's counted his footsteps. Blind. And he said to me something. He said, look, this man, no one on earth will know who he is. They don't know who he is. But in the sight of Allah, I think this man is a mountain of faith. And his reward is something we can't even imagine. But guess who only knows? Me, because I know him through my father, and now you do. No one else does. Don't look down upon a single person. That feeling of even looking down upon, maybe Allah will test you. Maybe Allah will test me. May Allah protect us. أقول قول هذا وصفر الله لكم فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said to the companions in the hadith as narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Sunan al-Tirmidhi that he ascended the minbar of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he called out with a raised voice. He says, Ya ma'ashara man qad aslama bi lisanihi wa lam yufdil iman ila qalbihi. O you who have accepted Islam with their tongue but faith has not reached their heart. He says, لا تؤذوا المسلمين ولا تعيروهم ولا تتبعوا عوراتهم. He says, do not harm the Muslims, nor revile them, nor spy on them to expose their secrets. For indeed, whoever tries to expose Muslims' secrets, Allah exposes their secrets wide open, even if they were the depth in their house. And then, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned as a final of what a believer truly feels for another, is that when you are corrected, whether it be your child, your wife, your husband, whoever, you do not reject the truth. You accept your deficiency. You accept your shortcoming. You do not what they call gaslight. You know what gaslighting is? Reject someone's feelings. You shouldn't feel this way. There's no fatwa on feelings, Hariri. Learn to understand how to accept your harm on someone else. This is called arrogance. When you reject the fact that you've harmed someone else. And lastly, do not allow yourself to not apologize because of the fact your arrogance and your ego does not allow you to reconcile. May Allah protect us from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about one of the highest and worst punishments in the hereafter. فَقَالُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. The believers, they said, Oh Allah, on you we rely, our Lord. Do not make us the objects of creating and being a fitna for other people who oppress. So what about those who cannot even hold themselves out of their own arrogance and oppress people with their own arrogance? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma a'izz al-Islam wa al-Muslimin. Allahumma tub alayna Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Allahumma ارزقنا التواضع في دينك يا ارحم الراحمين اللهم انا نعوذ بك من الكبر والكبرياء اللهم انا نعوذ بك ان نكون من المتكبرين اللهم ارزقنا الاخلاص في القول والعمل والصدق في النيه اللهم اصلح احوالنا واحوال المسلمين اللهم اصلح ذات بيننا والف بين قلوبنا اللهم ارزقنا التواضع مع اهلنا يا رب العالمين اللهم ارزقنا الجنة الفردوس الأعلى بغير حساب ولا سابق عذاب وارزقنا مرافقة حبيبنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارفع عنا الوباء يا رب العالمين اللهم كن مع إخواننا في كل مكان اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين في كل مكان وانصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان وصلى الله على حبيبنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وأقم الصلاة